Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Yeah.
Monday edition.
Yeah. October. Wow.
Yes, I have been posting all of my Halloween decorations for
you. Have you? I haven't even looked.
You haven't? You should look. You're going to be impressed.
I think I am going to be impressed.
Yes. So go to Tab the Housewife and on Instagram and you'll see them. If it's not on my story, then go to my highlights because I did make a Halloween section. And I'll just keep posting because every single room, not every single room, but like most rooms in my house have something special, even the bathroom.
Maybe I'll send you some pictures of my house and you can post them.
Please do. And Gretchen's getting dude, we both are already like on to Christmas.
I know.
It's like I
have to move on like immediately. Now I'm like almost done around here. So my son, while we were like watching one of my girls at practice, was like, "Mom, do you really need more Halloween stuff?" I'm like, "This is Christmas, dude."
I was late to something the other day and I told my friend, she was like, "What were you doing?" I was like, "I was moving a Christmas tree." She's like, "Please tell me it was black for Halloween." I was like, "No, it's actually a Christmas tree." You know, November 1st rolls around real quick. And I like to do the Christmas, Thanksgiving together because, you know, if you're going through all that work, you better get as much out of it as you can.
Yeah, I'm with it. I was in my front yard touching things up yesterday and this kid came around. I say kid, he was probably like 20, on one of those like hover scooters maybe it's like a Segway. I don't know. Anyways, he's going door to door hustling.
Christmas lights?
Putting them up? Bug spray. Oh. He wants to debug my house. I'm like, you know, he's like, "Do you ever see spiders?" I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm good with them."
You know, in Texas, you have to have that person.
You do?
Because you have wasps. Like the wasps are insane and they build these mud piles on your
roof. Yeah, well, I get that. But in California, it's not really a situation.
I know. Yeah.
And I feel bad, but he was like pretty ruthless though.
You should tell him to move to Texas.
He was like, "What if I told you it was just $10? I mean, how much do you spend on this Halloween stuff?" And I was like, okay.
Oh, good point.
Really? We're going to go there? You and my husband would be great friends. Okay. Also, I appreciate your hustle, but like, I'm like worried about the poison. Why would I want poison if I don't have to have it?
100%. I'm so into that too. Yeah. I don't like the poison. I have a green person that comes, you know, like all safe.
The job does look real fun though. You get to ride around on one of those things. I mean, I might become like a mall cop in my next life. I mean, those things look real fun.
They are real fun, I think, but make sure you wear a helmet. Just saying.
Oh yeah. Helmet police right here. Yeah. I know. Somebody needs to tell the kids in my neighborhood to buckle them. They wear them, but they don't buckle them.
So lame.
It's like not working. I clearly have been distracted. I got a little alert to that. So my son's elementary school sends out this newsletter and I don't get it. And I'm sure I could go to the office and complain about not getting it, but do I really want to read it?
No, you probably get it. It's in your junk mail and you just haven't looked.
No, I've looked. Oh. I used to get it. I don't get it. It's okay. I get the emails from the teachers and I feel like that's all I really need. Like,
okay.
Whatever. Anyhow, this is where I did need to get it. I missed picture day.
Oh, dude, I missed picture day and I get the damn email. Okay. So
Oh my gosh. I'm sitting there.
I missed picture day with two kids.
Well, they send you the copy of the picture the same day they take the picture.
Oh, that's fast.
I'm like, and my son is in desperate need of a haircut right now. And he goes out the door looking a mess because he puts a hat on. So I don't know what's going on under that hat, but apparently they make him take it off for pictures. I get the email and I'm like, "Dude, was it picture day today?" He's like, "No, we missed the last picture day, Mom. This was makeup picture day."
Oh no. Oh my God. Because you know what we did? We missed picture day too. Both kids, different schools. Okay. I should have learned my lesson. And I was just like, okay, we'll just do makeup day, because we really were not, we had the same problem. Like my son has like a damn like bush on his head right now.
Yeah. I'm like, so do they not tell you to smile at makeup picture day? Like what gives? And he's like, let me see. He's like, that's a smile. And then he's like laughing. He's like, I don't know what I was thinking. It's like, and oh, I'm going to be checking under your hat. You got to do something with that mop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's all right. 2024.
I'm probably not going to buy the pictures.
You got to buy it.
Do like, you?
You just buy the $25 package, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you saw the pictures, you'd think.
Maybe I wouldn't.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Take them to Sears. Get it redone.
Oh, sure. Sure. Add that to my list. Yeah. After I fumigate for spiders, I'll do that.
She is already mapping out her Christmas light situation.
No, this is going to be my Halloween. I'll give you a little spoiler. I am projecting. I mean, my house is like Pirates theme this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing the whole crazy projection mapping thing. I think everyone in my family agreed that made me a little insane, because I sat out there like a psycho every night and was, you know, not participatory in life because I was obsessed. So this year I'm just doing a real simple one on the garage, but there's like, I know my kids are going to love it because there's like this, somebody made this YouTube video to Taylor Swift, like Bad Blood, but it's like goes along with the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. It's going to be awesome.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Just saying, awesome.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be sitting out there all night.
I'm just going to play it for special occasions.
Okay. All right. I'm down for that.
Okay.
Coolio. Okay.
Do you hear the story?
I mean, that's what I'm here for.
Oh, shit.
That's why I showed up this morning.
Okay. Now you're getting feisty. Okay. Today's episode is listener suggestion from Christina Sayles. Sayles. Sayles.
How do you say Sayles. That's what I would say. Sayles.
We're going to go with that.
Okay. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you, Christina. It all goes down in the upper Midwest area.
Okay.
Darnell Smith specifically grew up in St. Paul, in the St. Paul, Minnesota area, with his younger brothers, Chaka and Ramon, and life wasn't easy. I don't know to the extent, but I know it involved Child Protective Services frequently intervening in their family situation. And so, sadly, I don't think it's a stretch to make the connection that the violence and abuse experienced in the Smith home propelled the violence and abuse Darnell Smith inflicted on a 12-year-old girl that he was convicted of raping at the age of 19.
Yikes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That was in 1993. Awful. You know, I know it's like not everyone that is abused becomes an abuser, but it sure seems like most abusers have been abused.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's a true statement.
Yeah. So Mr. Darnell Smith was 5 years into his 8-year sentence when he met Tina Leja, who was working at the Stillwater prison where he was incarcerated. Tina grew up in a small rural community in Wisconsin called Lake Holcomb, where she had the polar opposite upbringing of Darnell. Tina had a close family, and she had a bright future, pretty much as bright as anyone would hope for. In high school, she was an honor roll student, she was a great athlete, and she had the popular vote, too, because she was the ding-dong HOCO queen.
Oh, we just had that. HOCO. I was never. Were you ever?
No. Oh, please. We didn't call it HOCO. That's so cute.
No, this is oh my gosh, it's so cute. But my husband was like, I called it HOCO and he was like, what? I'm like, that's what they're calling it these days. Get with the times.
I like it. Yeah. Well, for Miss Tina, out of high school, she attended the University of Wisconsin and majored in criminology. Sounds like a girl after our own heart.
It really does.
Yeah. Tina hit a little stumbling block when in her third year of college, she had to drop out for financial reasons. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. been there sometimes, got to mm-hmm. take some time off before you go back. It's fine. But all was not lost because she had not lost focus on criminology because she got herself a job working at the Stillwater prison facility, which is where she first laid eyes on Darnell Smith. From there, it was just your all-American love story. Young, hot prison guard meets the hardened convicted child rapist, and they start banging it out.
No, no.
Puke, right?
This is bad.
It's bad.
Her parents are not in for this.
Oh, they are not.
Sure.
No, no, come on. It's so amazing to me that knowing Darnell's crime, Tina was so drawn to him, but I will imagine that he had a winning personality. Although that's not what people really say.
He also had some like crazy excuse, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine what that could be. She was 12. His personality is described as being a master manipulator, mostly through intimidation. Mm-hmm. What he did have working for him, and probably what was working for Tina, is that Darnell is a good-looking man. Good-looking with a side of scary, because he has a lot of really big muscles, which I think muscled men either give off very scary vibes or very hot vibes, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And Darnell's vibes were definitely scary. He has very cold eyes. Like Jason Momoa, for an example, bag of muscles. Very warm, intense eyes balance his whole package out, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. For months, Tina and Darnell were able to keep their relationship on the DL. But after a search of Darnell's cell, they found naughty pics of Tina. That was the end of that. So Tina was fired from her prison job, but girlfriend had no shame. She showed up for visiting hours to visit her boo and vowed to wait for him until his release date, which was 2 years away. When Darnell was released, he transitioned to a halfway house, and Tina kept her promise and was all about him and visited him there every day. The relationship between Tina and Darnell, now that he was on the outside, was not what I imagine she had been longingly anticipated all the time she waited for him.
Have we seen this?
Oh, yeah.
She hasn't seen Love After Lockup.
I'm going to get there, girl. ESPN.
Okay.
Darnell was controlling and violent. And Tina slipped into that complicit state of abuse where she did whatever he said, because objecting meant she faced physical abuse.
No.
She walked on eggshells because his temper got the best of him so easily. Now, this is where I was going to mention, I have not watched it in a minute, but I have spent hours of my life that I will never get back watching Love After Lockup. And it so reminds me of this because I see these women when their boo is locked up and these men talk about things like, you know, that guy, I'm gonna beat his ass if he messes with me, or, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
And when they're like still locked up, these women are like, yeah, baby. Yeah, you are. Oh my God. You know, like they think it's hot.
Yeah.
But then when they get out and they go out in public and these same men actually like beat someone's ass, they start to see it as irrational and scary. And it usually means these men get locked up again. And that is why prison reform is so important, so that they come out less violent than when they went in, because they do get out. So yeah. So while they're in, let's give them life skills like coping and not beating people's asses and employment. Okay, that's my rant on prison reform. Okay, thank back you. To Tina. She was, like I said, spending her time with Darnell at the halfway house and working at a gas station. That is where she met another young man named Bobby Holder. Bobby was a regular at the gas station because it was located in his neighborhood. Bobby was the polar opposite of Darnell. Appearance-wise, he was a very thin guy. Also, definitely not a bag of muscles. He was also outgoing and friendly, not hard and threatening. Bobby was 20 years old and a young father of one. He worked at a nursing home. How
His
cute is that?
His sounds like way better.
Yeah. At the nursing home, he was beloved by the staff and the residents. He spoke to his mama every day on the phone. He is described as being a bit of a flirt, which I think could have just been that like happy, joking nature that is common in 20-ish-year-old men. But whether you call it flirting or friendly, Darnell was not a fan of it when it came to interactions with his woman, Tina. Bobby had the occasion to interact with Darnell because he had some rims for sale. Both Tina and Darnell met with Bobby in the parking lot of McDonald's in June 2001. Bobby then went to Darnell's place to put the rims on Darnell's vehicle. He finished the install along with his friend and left that day, but somehow Bobby managed to leave some of his tools behind. It wasn't until around 2 weeks later that Bobby called up Tina to see about getting the tools back that he had left behind at Darnell's house. Tina was at Darnell's when the call from Bobby came in, and when Bobby called, for whatever reason, Tina told Darnell it was a wrong number. Darnell didn't believe Tina and waited for the number to call back. Tina had extra reason to be fearful of Darnell at this time because earlier she had stopped at a friend's house that day and Darnell expressed his displeasure with her doing so by hitting her with an alarm clock that left her with a big bloody wound. He forced her to remain on his bed and did not let her leave, so she was kind of hostage. Yeah. Bobby subsequently called back Tina's phone. Darnell took a break from cleaning his gun to listen in on the conversation, which entailed Bobby asking Tina if he could come get his tools. Darnell whispered in Tina's ear during the call, "Tell him I don't live here, that this is your house." So Tina told Bobby, "He's not here right now. You can come over." Darnell's brothers came over that evening, and Darnell told them something along the lines that he was going to rough up a guy that was coming over that had been flirting with Tina and they should stick around. His brother Ramon smartly decided to not stick around.
Yeah.
But his brother Chaka says he felt like he didn't have a choice. Side note, part of me is like, of course you had a choice. You're a grown man. But the other part of me understands that Chaka really was scared of Darnell. Darnell was really fucking scary. Mm-hmm. And intimidating. Later, when Bobby showed up, Darnell hid and Tina let him in. Chaka went out the back to see if Bobby had come alone, which he had. When he came back in the house, he saw Darnell beating Bobby up with a flashlight. Bobby tried to escape via the front door, but Darnell did not let him. Oh, it's going to get worse. Yeah. Darnell didn't let him escape. He grabbed a gun and fired two shots into him. Bobby, still alive, pleaded to let him go to the hospital, and he promised he wouldn't give Darnell up, but Darnell told him he wasn't going anywhere, and Bobby didn't. He took his last breath on Darnell's floor.
What the hell is wrong with this guy?
Yeah. Tina was curled up in a ball crying when she heard the shots before Chaka and Darnell dragged Bobby's body into the bedroom where she was. She fell asleep that night with Darnell in the bedroom with Bobby's body on the floor next to them because apparently Darnell didn't feel it was like real urgent to do anything with it. When he had taken a day to think about disposing of Bobby, he brought Bobby's body down to the basement because he concluded that he would not be able to get it out of the house unnoticed. I can see that, right? Halfway house, anything bigger than a bread box. People are like, what you got going on there?
Yeah, Ellen? But I'm like, where are the people that live in the halfway house?
Well, they get dragged into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So even though I can see why he didn't want to, you know, take it out of the house or whatever, I cannot see what he did. Not that any of it is okay. Darnell dismembered Bobby.
Bobby's body. Where? Like in his bathroom?
In the basement.
Oh.
And he forced Chaka to participate in the horrendous act that he committed with just box cutters. His plan was to...
razor blade things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
His plan was to bury the remains in the basement, but when he dug down past the concrete, he actually found that someone had already had that idea when he came across the skeletal remains of another.
What the fuck?
That's a pretty big winky dink.
I mean, what right? is going on in that halfway house?
Yeah. Okay. I tried to find whose remains those were and what the backstory is there.
Yeah. Could you?
But I didn't have any luck, unfortunately. I mean,
what in the Sam hell is going on? I'm okay. Listen, my uncle lived in a halfway house after rehab, you mm-hmm. know, and it was like monitored very closely. Like it was through the Salvation Army. So I don't know, maybe they just had a better system going or something.
Yeah, well, I think there are different degrees. This yeah. was also in 2000 and what did I say? Three?
And was a way long time ago.
Yeah, way long time ago. And also, your uncle was in a halfway house post-rehab, not post-raping.
Yes, right. Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't that kind of halfway.
Probably a different crew.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. The effect of finding whose ever remains Darnell had uncovered had on Darnell was that it gave him pause about additionally burying Bobby's remains there, which I think I would kind of think like maybe it's a good spot. Nobody's found these ones.
Mm-hmm.
Not his thought. Okay. So his new plan dragged Tina into the mix when he instructed her to dispose of Bobby's body in the woods in various locations. He didn't trust Tina to pull this task off alone, so he instructed a man named Andre Parker, who also lived in the halfway house or transitional house, to follow Tina in the car Bobby had left there, and then go in Tina's car and assist her with Bobby's remains, which were now in a cooler.
No, this is so awful.
Mm-hmm. Andre says he was afraid if he didn't do what Darnell said, he would kill him. And he also said that Tina was shaking like a leaf through the whole ordeal. After abandoning Bobby's car, Tina and Andre headed out to a place Tina was familiar with, her family's farm in rural Chippewa Falls. The Hoko Queen went home, Tab. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing, involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year's special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Lady listeners, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you are, you are most definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormonal disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. They are in our food, water, the air we breathe. They are all up in our business, messing with our hormones,
then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier through these changes. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. I've been taking Hormone Harmony for months and will keep on keeping on because it just makes life easier. I feel less stress, less bloat. And just even, I feel more like myself. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
Tina and Andre dug a shallow grave and buried just Bobby's torso there. They threw the rest of Bobby's remains in various wooded areas. They didn't do a really great job of not leaving evidence behind. And so Tina contends that she was sloppy on purpose. She says she knew that her daddy would find Bobby's remains and she wanted the police to put it together, the connections, so that she would be caught and she could get out of this. I'm not so sure about that, but I mean, I do believe she was in over her head and living in fear.
Yes.
Yeah. But I will explain some more why some people don't really buy Tina's whole I left evidence behind on purpose story in a minute. So how it went down was Tina's daddy was out mowing the lawn and he stumbles upon tire marks and a shallow grave that reeks. And he thinks his neighbor buried an animal on his property and he's not thrilled about it. And so he goes and gets said neighbor and shows him what he's talking about. And the two men investigate the situation until they are horrified by the sight of human remains. So they call the police. This was a crazy big story because this was in little old Chippewa Falls rural farmland. Yeah. Bodies are just not found there, let alone, you know, dismembered bodies are not a thing that like ever happens. So with only the torso as a means of identification, all authorities have to work with are the tattoos on the body. Also, Darnell had decided to carve the words "Bloods Rule" into
Bobby.
Was he in
a gang at one point, I guess?
Okay. He was not a blood. He does have gang affiliations, but he did that on purpose to make it look like it was a gang.
Wasn't him.
Yeah. 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 And so, but the police figured that the carving in Bobby was just some kind of ruse from the get because the tattoos that Bobby had were not gang affiliated. Mm-hmm. He had some initials and like a traditional Native American headdress.
Okay.
They released that information to the media and Bobby's mother knew by the description that was her son who had been missing for days now. That poor woman had to go identify her son by just seeing his torso.
That is so awful. That is like so awful.
Well, with the story all over the news, Darnell's brother, Ramon, who had bailed on Darnell on the fatal night, was distraught over learning what had actually taken place after he left. And so he went to the police. He told them he was terrified of his brother. From there, police put it together that Darnell's girlfriend was Tina Leja, the disgraced prison guard, slash also Tina was the daughter of Elroy Leja, the owner of the land where Bobby was found.
Oh my
and
God.
So she was likely involved too. And so they went looking for both Tina and Darnell.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising.
Yeah. Now, this is where people that lack compassion for Tina and her role in the crime really lack compassion because Tina went on the run with Darnell. By the way, when Ramon went to the police, he also gave up the brother Chaka and they found him right away working at the fast food restaurant where he was working. But it took a minute to catch up with Tina and Darnell. There was a bolo put out, be on the lookout, people, immediately for Tina and Darnell, and they did manage to make it a couple states away to Mississippi. But keeping a low profile was not Darnell's strong suit, and while he was visiting a small town down there, he got on the local police department radar on account of him going around flashing his gun and casually mentioning to the locals that he was on the run.
What's wrong with that guy?
Okay. So thankfully, a local police officer looked into the claim that was going around town about Darnell being on the run, and Darnell and Tina were taken into custody without incident or anyone getting hurt. So in regards to Tina, basically, I can see both points of view. And those that have the point of view that Tina was a willing accomplice to Darnell think that's clearly the case because she went with him on the run. And when she was questioned, after she was brought in, she wasn't like, oh, thank God, I have been trying to escape him.
Yeah, that's how she should have been.
Yeah, she didn't. She was like, I don't know what you're talking about. But in fairness, the other school of thought is that, you know, Tina was experiencing some sort of state of like Patty Hearst Stockholm syndrome / battered women syndrome. And I can see that. I can see that, too.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. But listen, I flippy floppy. There's this. While Tina was still awaiting trial, the prosecutors offered her a plea deal to testify against Darnell, and she did not take it. I mean, and that was months after you might think she, if she was in that, you know, Stockholm state or something, that she had had enough time to detox from Darnell's intimidation and get her senses and rationale back.
That is really bad. Girlfriend, he would have flipped on you in a minute.
She had 3 years of school in criminology. I don't know if that's equal to 5 years of a true crime podcast, but maybe she had a good reason to take the plea.
She didn't.
I think many people probably have your thought that it just came off as her still having loyalty to Darnell.
Yes, I think that. But did she think that she had a good, like she didn't want to go like a plea deal. You're saying that you are guilty and you're going to go to prison for whatever amount of time.
Well,
right?
She's going to go to girlfriend knows she's going to go to prison. I mean,
yeah,
going to go to prison.
I feel like take the plea.
Yeah. Also, aside from just that, I just think it would have been the right thing karma wise to testify against him.
Oh,
like out of respect for Bobby's family.
100%.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in my
But
opinion.
I'm also saying like he would have flipped on her in a heartbeat.
Oh, for sure.
If offered the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah. Well, okay. Tina might not have testified against him, but both his brothers testified against him.
Yeah. Because his brothers.
Because they were fucking afraid of him. And they're like, we want him locked up for life.
Yeah.
Like, so he can't hurt us anymore.
She was probably still writing him love letters and sending him naked pictures.
Okay, supposedly she hasn't talked to him since. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Okay, but I mean, maybe. Okay, so his brothers both testified against him, and Darnell, of course, was sentenced to life in prison. It's not a death penalty state, so that wasn't an option. And he was sentenced without the possibility of parole. So he's not going
anywhere. But what the heck? Why did he want to kill this guy?
Because he thought he was flirting with...
But like, who the fuck cares? Like, it's not like she was like having sex with him.
Right. He's just a violent person.
He's a bad guy.
The prosecutor that put Darnell away said that in all the years he's been prosecuting, he was the scariest defendant that he ever tried.
Ugh. He looks scary. I looked him up.
Yeah. I saw on one of those shows about this crime, a friend of Bobby said that at the sentencing, Darnell said, you know, like all these people you can just imagine are giving their like
victim impact
statements. And Darnell said Bobby wasn't half the man you people say he is. Actually, he was half the man. Which is so dark and disgusting. So I tried to verify that comment, in like newspaper articles, but I couldn't find anything that corroborated that statement. So I don't usually repeat things that I haven't seen from more than one source. So I don't know for sure that he said that, but if he really did, we already know he's a monster. But I mean, hello, that's fucking awful. Okay. His brother slash accomplice, Chaka, was sentenced to 20 years in 2003. And so, you know, we're in 2024, so his time is up. And since he's not listed as a Minnesota state inmate, I assume he's been released. I read he appealed his lengthy sentence a couple of times when he was serving, but I don't think he had any luck. And so he served the whole sentence, or at least most of it, which brings us to Tina. Tina got lucky. Miss Thing went to trial and she testified on her own behalf, and she was facing 40 years. Mm-hmm. At trial, she was found guilty and sentenced to 17. Tina did have luck appealing her sentence, something about the jury not being given instructions to take into account that she was under duress.
Okay.
Got her released in 7 years.
Wow.
She is 49 years old today.
Although I don't think, you know what? I don't think she planned on Bobby getting murdered.
No.
You know?
No. So really, I think 17 years is a real long time.
Yeah. She did know.
She did have the opportunity. I mean, she could have, you know, he wasn't with her when she went to go bury the remains, although maybe like this other guy, like I understand her being in fear, but she did a lot of things. Yeah. I mean, I think it was either she was in a position where it was either her or Bobby was going to die. Yeah. And she just hoped Bobby didn't die, but she thought it's not going to be me.
Fuck that, dude.
It's just a really terrible.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So my web sleuthing showed me it appears she is doing well and has not added any more criminal activity to her record since her release. Andre, the man who assisted Tina in disposing of the remains, received a 5-year sentence for his role. I mean, he's just like wrong place, wrong time, dude. A bag of muscles like Darnell holds a gun to you and is like, you're going to take her and you're going to do this.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
And then he's like, he was
then
free.
I think what you do is then you go to the police and you're like,
yeah, the smart thing would have been
this
for
to
him.
Me.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, you are in fear. And this is where we need to make sure that we're hanging out with the right people all the time, you know. You are who you hang out with. And unfortunately, these people were hanging out with this douche canoe of a monster man, and he got them into really bad trouble. And I would say they should have turned the other way.
I'm really proud of his brother for turning him in, don't you think?
Yeah.
Snaps Ramon.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Darnell's most recent mugshot shows him still looking like a bag of muscles. So obviously he's getting enough protein in prison. My guess is he uses intimidation to get extra eggs or something.
Yeah, he's probably stealing everybody else's food.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's how it goes
down. He still has the muscles?
He does.
He's probably has some prison girlfriend that, you know, is buying him Quest bars or something.
Something. Yeah. I found a twatter, X, Twitter, whatever you call it, page for him with 9 followers.
Like an X one, like one that he had before?
No, it's X. I'm not with any of it.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot. It's now called X.
It's now called X. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he has one.
Yeah, he has
somebody's
one.
Like
with
doing
9
it for
followers.
Him.
Yes. And it says his new, it shows his picture. Mm-hmm. It would. Like a mugshot picture, and it says his new address is as an inmate in the Colorado State Penitentiary in Canyon City, which we have talked about before because Canyon City, Colorado is home to 11 correctional facilities and the prison museum, which I am a little fascinated with.
I found Gretchen's going there. Remember, you guys.
Someday, if I find myself in Canyon City, you best believe I'm stopping.
Dude, you are not visiting this creep.
No way. I'm scared from here.
He has this goatee that he braided.
As in like, yeah.
Did you see
three
that?
Little, three little braids.
Looks like two, but it's so gross. He's so gross.
No.
He looks really
You can see the hotness hard. Appeal, though. I mean, that goatee does nothing. But before that, the pictures of him.
Yeah, with the sunglasses and the like. Tattoos and
yeah,
I mean, I can see if you're into like super bad guys with big muscles that look like, you know, like he looks like a boxer. Oh yeah, he has like the inmate picture. He's got three three braids. He did have two in one, but yeah,
I think so that is like a real sign of being a badass in prison, because somebody could pull that hair
out. Right. I know
that would hurt.
Yeah, you can see
those hairs that around your lips hurt so bad.
Oh my God. You want to get them waxed?
Yeah. I just shave them now.
With a little razor, tinkle razor.
With a little razor. Mm-hmm.
I tinkle razored my face the other day. You can't see it anymore, but it was a brand new one. And man,
it's so gross when you do. You're like, why didn't anybody tell me I was walking around with a beard?
Oh my gosh, I know. But I had, I cut myself like a lot. And my daughter's like, why are you bleeding all over your face?
Like, yeah, and I did that too recently. And then it took like a long time to heal. And I was a little scared over. Maybe I have like some dying disease.
No.
Because I was like, why isn't this healing?
It healed. It's because you scraped your face off. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. Well, anyways, have I told you this part? He is not still listed as, he's still listed as a Minnesota state inmate, but he's not in one of their facilities, but it doesn't say where he is.
I thought you said he was in Colorado.
Yes. Okay. So I'm guessing that the Twitter page is correct, but it's not on the official, inmate page.
And when you went to Colorado, did you look in that? At that?
I didn't look in Colorado.
Oh yeah. So he's probably there. I mean, he's probably also on the inmate like date me sites.
Okay. So I have no idea, but I sure hope there isn't some sad lady out there wasting her time trying to advocate for Darnell, because somebody had to have started the twat page. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I suspect. Okay. Lastly, and sadly, in 2004, Bobby's skull was found in the woods and the rest of his remains have never been found.
Or maybe not sadly, because you kind of, I don't know. I feel like the head is like the main part.
Well, so his mother decided to bury the remains that she had now in a proper resting place.
Yeah.
With a headstone.
Rest in peace,
Bobby.
Yeah. That's a sad story, dude. Seriously, don't, you guys, like, really hang out with people that are going to make you better, not worse.
Yeah.
Teach your kids that. Seriously.
I have found myself dating some not good people in my younger years, but I also think a lot of it is there's a minute where, you got to go with your gut that this isn't going to end well.
Yeah.
It never does. I try to instill that in my kids. You know, now when we were walking the Vegas Strip, there were a couple of things that happened. Some guy that was like, I mean, maybe he really was a monk, but he was dressed as a monk and he was handing out beads. Uh-huh. And I'm like, don't take those. Uh-uh. I'm like, you don't know. And they're like, why? It's like,
because what he gave was anal beads, not.
It's like, you never know what he,
no, you don't know.
You're not intimate.
Not in that environment.
So it's like, he's probably going to want something for you, or he's going to pull a reach around and grab mommy's wallet or something. I don't know, but don't take the beads. Ruby was still talking about that days later. I'm telling you, she's going to join a cult.
Oh my gosh. She might. She might. Crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff. You guys, if you have not given us a rating or a review, will you please do so right now? It takes like 30 seconds or less. And at the same time, if you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait until next Monday to hear these two beaches, then we are on Thursdays. And while you're giving us a review, just go and go to the Clink Clink Club if it's on Apple and join. And you'll hear us on Thursdays also. And our last Thursday episode, by the way, I listened to it today and it was really good.
Yeah, we were on a roll.
We were on a roll. And
also, hey, if you ever want to see us, check our YouTube.
Oh,
you can see my lovely.
God.
We've been forgetting to mention it.
We've been
putting makeup on every week. And I have a hot sweatshirt on right now that says Falls Out, Balls Out. And yes, I do wear this to pick up my children.
Oh my God. That is an amazing sweatshirt. Because I can't see the bottom of it, but I could see it says Falls Out. But oh my God, that is so good.
You can get one too at shopwaveandcactus.com.
Oh yeah, we love her. We love her, Lindsay. So that's a great sweatshirt. That's awesome. I don't have one like that, but I am wearing,
you should.
Not today, but
when people say something to me like nice sweatshirt, I'm like, you pervert. I love football. Okay.
And they're like, I do too.
Uh-huh.
Also, I just posted on my Instagram and I'll do it again on Monday so you guys can all see it when this comes out. But my girlfriend is making shirts for Pink Out. Do you guys do that in?
Everybody's going to some football game where like the little girls are cheering.
And everybody wears pink for breast cancer awareness. So she is giving all of her shirt money to a charity. Her mother, this is a great story. So her mom had, like in our town, everybody wears pink on October. So we have pink out for every game. Like my son's game this weekend is all like the boys have to wear all pink. So her mom was like, man, you always dress your son in this pink, like all October. And she's like, you know, it kind of just reminds me, I haven't been and got checked for 2 years. And then she's like, mom, just go get checked. She's like, okay, yeah, I'll go get checked. She had breast cancer.
Yeah.
And it saved her life, man, because she caught it. Like, what if she waited? So anyways, so she picked the charity that her mom supports and she's going to give all the money to that. So
that is great.
And I was one of the models for the shirts. So
of course you were. Disco biscuit, hottie patati, new haircut.
Well, new haircut, new hair, don't care. It's not, I just got from the gym, so really kind of not that great right now, but it's very short.
Yeah.
Like compared to yours.
I know. I might, I know. I might copy you a little bit. I've been debating it for a while, but my hair girl won't let me.
But it's super thick. So it looks awesome because it's like super thick now. And so you can cut it short and it still looks good and not like wispy, you know? So,
yeah, I do like to put my hair on top of my head though.
I could still do it with this length.
Okay.
So you could do it this length. I think that is all for today. I think through October, our five crimes is 50% off on the TikTok shop only. So you have to go to TikTok, go to that shop, and you put in the code 5Crimes50, all capital letters. That's five, the number 5Crimes50, all capital letters on our TikTok shop. If you don't shop on TikTok, you can get 25% off on our regular website, 5crimes.com, with the code CLINK. So, but you guys, it's really good stuff. You'll love it. And I think that's all for today. So hopefully you guys have a super duper week and we'll catch you on Thursday.
CLINK, CLINK. CLINK.